Battle Report with Ben and Steve.
So, I was on holiday in the summer.
Yeah?
You were working, you couldn't come.
Right? This is your cycle trip to
Yeah, so I went southeast.
Vienna.
Went to southeast, right?
Yeah.
Went to the southeast. And I went to this restaurant. Like the southeast is rough.
Yeah.
Very industrial, lots of volcanoes, really rough. Went into this restaurant.
Yeah.
Do you know all they had on the menu?
What?
The fellest of all possible meats!
there it is.
It was fucking rough.
I mean, what do you need when you have a house that you can't get into?
A key?
To get inside, what do you need?
A key?
What else do you need? Like, there's no entrance.
Yeah?
So you have nothing to put a key into.
A door?
Yes, but yeah. Like, what about the door?
Well, it depends.
Like, let's say...
It depends. Do you want multiple people to go in at the same time or just one?
Let's say you want multiple people to go in. What do you need?
Well, a door.
Yeah.
But if it's multiple people...
You need...
More door, don't you?
Exactly. You need more door.
You know what I mean?
More door. This is like...
So they, in Lord of the Rings, they weren't fighting against
did
three
you have, Did you have Home Improvement in the UK?
We did have Home Improvement,
yeah.
I mean, I never watched it. I know Tool Time, but...
It wasn't that good.
I quite enjoyed Boy Meets World, though.
Yeah, did you know that the...
It's Fred Savage's brother, yeah?
No, not that. There was a young lady who performed on
that
show who later became a porn star.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know the voice from Hal was the neighbor next door.
Really?
Mm.
Wait, oh, the voice from Hal?
Mm.
Okay, not the act. Okay.
Yeah, the actor who voiced Hal.
No, I'm thinking...
Was the next door neighbor.
I'm thinking back to 2001, and I was thinking, do you mean Keir Dalea was in... Obviously not the same person.
Yeah, the bloke did the voice.
No, Keir Dalea was the actor who played... The astronaut. I can't remember his
Leonard
name.
Rossiter was in 2001, you know.
Who?
Leonard Rossiter.
Who's that?
Very famous. So he was like this massively famous, well-renowned theatre actor. Debuted a lot of Brecht plays in Britain. Was like super well-respected. And then ended up in the 80s, like the lead in a sitcom. And no one knew any of his previous
I mean, I don't think appearing in 2001 would add much to your acting credentials.
Well, you've seen Barry Lyndon.
There's, like, hardly any acting in it.
You've seen Barry Lyndon.
Of course.
You know the guy he has a... Like, the weak-willed, lily-livered guy he has a duel with at the beginning?
Ah, vaguely remember.
Leonard Rossiter. Very famous in it.
I remember more the Scotsman that he's always playing cards with, and I think they use the beauty mark.
Yeah.
Moving it around.
Yeah,
Leonard
Rossiter...
To signal the hands.
Leonard Rossiter was the first person to play... What's that... Brecht play about the gangster in Chicago.
Not sure.
But based on Hitler. He was the first to play that on the British stage.
So top Stanley Kubrick films. This is like...
This Battle Report's got off to a great
obnoxious
start.
Obnoxious conversation. So I think Paths of Glory, Barry Lyndon, and 2001.
Do you know what I think the best one is?
It's going to be something that no one else would think of because that's how you...
No. It's a very... I mean, none of his films are particularly indie, right?
Please don't say Clockwork Orange.
I'm going to say Clockwork Orange.
I'm going to say Clockwork Orange.
I think every frame...
Did you have
frame,
a poster of Clockwork Orange up in your university dorm room?
Every frame a painting. Like, every frame is a painting.
That's how I feel about 2001.
And it is so tight and funny and tragic. I think it's his best film.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I actually think that Barry Lyndon is the most underrated.
Got issues... It is the most underrated, yeah.
Yeah.
Got issues with cod pieces of you? Problems with the cod
piece? You know, I still... I'm going to admit to the listeners because they're paying for this, right?
Right, exactly.
I still haven't seen The Shining.
Yeah, because we need to sit down and watch it.
Yeah, I don't like horror movies.
I mean, it's scary as fuck, but you need to...
it'll be fine.
It's so good, though.
It'll be fine.
Anyway, okay, what are we playing, Steve?
For the first time ever,
yeah,
this is a battle report in which you and I are on the same side.
Isn't that exciting?
And we are literally... Literally, you know how people use the word literally these days to mean something like not literally?
So I was reading...
Like really a lot.
I was listening to a podcast.
Yeah.
With John McWhirter, famous linguist.
Yep.
And he's just like, oh, get over it, you dickheads.
I mean...
Literally means figuratively, literally,
okay,
get over it.
Fine, we're all over it. Nevertheless...
We are
literally battling the forces of evil.
Yes, we are.
Literally. Not figuratively, literally.
So we've got Marios.
Satan.
Who's playing Mordor.
Yep.
We still haven't mentioned what the game is. We got Teresa, who's a cold, meticulous German, playing Saruman, the wizard.
The evil queen of board games.
I'm Frodo. Because let's be frank. So, okay.
I'm Aragon.
Okay, Steve, I'm going to ask you a question. I think I know the answer.
Did I say Aragon?
You are a part of Spain.
Yeah, I'm a Spanish kingdom from the Middle Ages.
So, I think I know what your answer is going to be.
Yep.
But I'm going to ask it anyway. You know the famous Rest Is History podcast?
I do. I believe I recommended it to you.
You did, and now I'm addicted. So,
it's a great podcast.
Who's who between us two? Who's Dominic and who's Tom?
I mean, what I think or what I think you think?
What I think. What you think.
I think that you think I'm Dominic and you're Tom. But I think I'm Tom and you're Dominic.
So I think you think you're Tom.
Yep.
And I'm Dominic.
Yep.
So, it's right.
Yep.
Because I'm from rural England. Dominic Sandbrook is very close to me.
Yeah.
And you're like a fucking effete metropolitan.
Look for the word.
Metropolitan asshole.
Like you need to craft the correct insult.
So, second question. So we're playing War of the Ring, the card game.
War of the Ring, the card game, just released at this year's Essen
Spiel 2022. Essen Spiel
2022.
So, taking the...
Was du da?
And by the way, listeners, if you're not listening to the rest of this history, you should listen to it. It's fucking amazing. But if... So...
They should pay us.
Which faction do you think Tom Holland would choose in this game? And which faction do you think Dominic Sandbrook would choose in this game? I don't think it's fucking obvious.
I mean, I think... Tom Holland would be on the side of good. He's always talking about Christianity
We're assuming Tom and Dominic are choosing Free People's factions.
Oh, between the two of us?
Yeah.
Oh, I think for sure Tom would be Aragorn and Dominic would be hobbits or whatever it is you are.
I think Dominic Sandbrook is a hobbit.
Dominic is a hobbit, yeah. And Tom is an effete, whatever it is you're about to say.
Exactly, metropolitan asshole.
Yeah, I totally identify as an effete metropolitan asshole.
The only difference between me and Dominic Sandbrook is Dominic Sandbrook's a Tory and I'm not.
I mean, he's like a soft Tory at best.
Oh, sure he's a soft Tory. I mean,
he'll get there eventually, probably.
Exactly.
What did Winston Churchill say?
Kill all those colonials?
When you're young, you're heartless if you're not a liberal, and then when you're old, you're stupid if you're not conservative, something like that.
Yeah, but I'm beginning to think it's going the other direction, love.
Yeah, you reckon? Are you becoming more liberal as you get older?
I've always been a hoary old socialist.
Yeah.
And I believe socialism...
I mean, you're definitely a whore.
I believe socialism lies in economics, not in identity.
So do you think that the... The Lord of the Rings represents a socialist fantasy in any way whatsoever?
No, it is a very small C conservative fantasy.
Return of the King.
There's no government essentially, and
actually, I would say that Saruman represents a progressive industrialization of the Commonwealth.
I think the
orcs actually have a rather egalitarian society. As compared and contrasted to the elves, who are completely hierarchical.
Yeah.
And also the men who live in the kingdoms of Gondor and Rohan. Yeah. Same deal.
So
there's no aristocracy among orcs.
No, exactly. Tolkien was an anarcho-conservative in my eyes.
Anarcho-conservative.
I mean, so he believed in little...
What a category.
He lived in small independent communes.
Yeah, total royalist, independently,
with a sort of overlord that didn't really... deal much, didn't really get involved much.
Yeah.
And you just show due deference. That's the conservative element. And shit stays the same.
He's obviously got something for the absent king idea.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and this is interesting, right? Because there's this current prevailing idea that if art disagrees with your politics, you can't appreciate the art. Which is such a redundant, moronic idea. One of my favourite writers, I think probably the funniest writer in the English language, is Evelyn Waugh.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Evelyn Waugh couldn't be more politically different.
Mm-hmm.
He's a wannabe aristocrat, total Tory dickhead, but my God, he writes a beautiful sentence and he's acerbic and hilarious. Just because we would vote for different parties and we have a different idea of what makes up society doesn't mean I can't appreciate his art, does
it? I mean, Thomas Hobbes is funny sometimes, but he comes from a completely different time and place.
Right, exactly.
A society that would be unrecognizable to those of us living today. And like, you wouldn't compare your values to someone from that
period. Well, you shouldn't.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Art. So what's your view, while we're getting into it, art and the artist? Should you separate art and the artist?
So, from where I'm coming from, Like, when you're talking about the artist, you're probably talking about, like...
The person who created the art.
Like, their intention is somehow relevant to what I'm looking at, what I'm reading, what I'm experiencing. I think you probably can separate these things, and you can look at the artist as somehow the product of the circumstances of their time and their place, and analyze the work of art on that basis, not simply as, like, the excrescence of their intentionality.
Oof, did you hear that sentence? The excrescence of their potential...
Intentionality.
Intentionality. That was impressive, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm very much of the view that it's nice if you think the person who creates the work you like is cool and mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
It's nice, but it's utterly unessential. I am a Roland Barthes absolutist.
Yeah.
I do not believe the intention of the artist has any
I'm
relevance.
I'm surprised to hear that from you.
Yeah, I'm absolutely a Roland Barthes absolutist. I think if you have a novel and the artist, the person who wrote the novel, says this means this, my interpretation of what this means has equal value to the novelist's interpretation of it. Because once you publish something, once you put it out into the public, it is then a work of art that is open to the interpretation of the consumer. And the person who creates its interpretation is absolutely, it does not hold any more intrinsic value than mine, for instance.
You should be the one who almost has a PhD in English.
Exactly.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
We often ask who's going to win.
Yeah.
I have an even better question.
Right.
Do you think that the game we play tonight, no matter who wins, will be more entertaining than the new War of the Rings, what is it? The Rings of Power TV series on Amazon?
I mean, absolutely no question, because that was absolute dog shit. But, so what I'm more concerned about is because I love War of the Rings. It's probably a top five game of mine.
It's a top game.
Right?
Yeah. We have two battle reports.
Yeah.
Unprecedented.
But the problem with the War of the Ring is it's fucking pain in the ass to set up for a start.
I heard some rumor about a new edition coming out where they're going to do something about this.
Rumor?
Yeah, I think...
Was it?
What?
Wasn't the fucking interview that I did with the designer of War of the Ring that you fucking read?
I don't know.
It could have
been anybody.
Could have been, yeah.
Could have been anybody. Yeah.
Wasn't the fucking most preeminent interviewer.
I mean, what I heard
in board games.
What I heard is that the previous edition, the second edition, came out just before the current.
Oh yeah, did you hear that? Did
age
you?
Of games.
Where did you hear that?
It had these big chunky awkward plastic pieces.
Where did you hear that?
Somewhere.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Wasn't the most preeminent critic of modern board games, was it?
Yeah. Who's that?
It's fucking me.
I don't know.
Or Space Biff. I mean...
Probably Space Biff then.
Yeah, probably Space Biff.
Space Biff is great. You've interviewed him, haven't you?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Yeah. Has he interviewed you?
No, he doesn't do interviews. He just reviews.
Oh, has he reviewed you?
Yes.
What did he say?
Top. 5 stars. Anyway, what I'm hoping with this game, because I don't think it's going to be as good as War of the Ring. I don't think it's possible.
Give it a chance.
But what I'm hoping is this is a close, shorter... Philip.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that this can be done in 90 minutes,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that you go, okay, special occasions, War of the Ring.
Yeah.
If we just want to play a game like at Rudy's or at night or whatever, we can break out War of the Ring and it'll give us the feeling.
But we also have to play this two-player, because War of the Ring, I think you can play it four-player, but I guess it's not meant to be that great.
This is designed for four players, though.
Really?
War of the Ring is designed for two. So I think...
We should try it at two, though.
I don't know, it'd be crappy-rappy, though, wouldn't it?
Well, we don't know that.
I mean, you don't know that.
You don't know that.
I don't know that.
You don't know anything.
What?
Huh?
Hey?
Huh?
You can listen to the rest of this show and hundreds of hours of bonus content, including convention reports, in-game bickering, and loads more at patreon.com/5G4D.